This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the How to Hunt Turkey podcast. I'm your host, Jay Screer. I'm going to be flying solo today. This episode is brought to you by the fact that turkey season is open in a lot of states, and therefore turkey hunters are busy hunting turkeys, and they don't have as much time to be on this podcast, and you can't fault them. You can't fault them for 1 minute. In fact, if my turkey season were open, I too would be putting a priority on that, as we all would, because we're turkey hunters, and that's what it's all about. But one thing I have got a chance to do a lot is I've been doing a lot of turkey scouting. I've been doing a lot of thinking. I've been thinking about this last season. I've been thinking about things that I need to improve on, and I've been thinking about knowing when to move and when to stay put when you're hunting turkeys. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but I'm going to give just a few updates first about my scouting. You know, this year I've made a goal to spend a lot more time hunting public land, hunting birds on public land, which, you know, it seems like everybody's doing that and nobody's doing that at the same time. But my whole goal is I want to understand turkeys better. And the only way really for me to do that is to get in more places that have turkeys. So, for instance, on my grandpa's farm, I have spent a lot of years turkey hunting. Not a lot of years, but a few years anyways. And it's not like I'm not going to hunt there, but it is like I feel like I understand what the turkeys do there. And it's time to move on, and it's time to learn turkeys in a better way and in a different way as well. So in all of this scouting around, I've had some real ups and downs. It's really interesting. So One big takeaway so far from my turkey scouting is Onyx, you know, whatever your mapping app is, can get you so far down the road of scouting, but it cannot get you to the destination every time. You know, there might be a time you drop a pin and you roll in and boom, everything's perfect. There's birds. You're like, I'm the greatest who's ever lived. I have got this figured out. And as I've been thinking a lot about the Colonel Tom Kelly quote about how if as soon as you get an ounce of confidence, that turkey will take that confidence and break your neck with it. And I think that's facts because I've been, you know, going around, been doing well, been feeling good. Today I went out and scouted this spot. And since we've had about a week of rain here in Missouri, it was completely swamped out, looked terrible. Couldn't get where I needed to go. And to top it all off, there was a horse trail through the whole thing. I guess somebody's running a trail ride situation. And the neighbors, it seems, are not very happy with that. Like, people have put up, like, ratchet straps, like, 6 feet high around these trees, I guess, to stop people from riding horses through certain spots. It's, friends, it's the Wild West out there in some places. There's literal horses and people trying to stop people from riding horses through. I mean, it's crazy. But one thing I've noticed is just how good it is to really be looking for turkey sign. You know, in the whitetail world, it's all about sign. And I feel like it's a little bit less so with turkeys because we have the benefit of turkeys being out and around all day and making sounds. So really, I think a lot of people, the only thing they really think of when they're scouting for turkeys is, did we see a turkey? Did we hear a gobble? And that's so great to get to do that. But it's interesting because turkeys will leave a good amount of sign between, you know, tracks that they leave, little dust bowls that they make, strut marks, feathers, like all of these things. Scratching is a huge one. I can't believe I almost forgot to mention. And it's just fun. I just love getting out to the woods and exploring new places. And I think that, like, anybody out there thinking about should I do more public land, should I not, whatever, is you just have to think, like, are you as happy exploring a new place as you are hunting a predictable turkey? And, you know, it might not be an exact one or the other, right? But if that number of happiness is anywhere close, like, if you take any amount of joy in just exploring new woods, man, get out there. But if you hate having to figure out a new spot, if you hate seeing other people, if you hate the idea of talking to another turkey hunter, then do not go to public land because that ain't for you. So there's a little bonus tip about knowing what you should do. So we're going to dive into today's topic, how to know when it's time to move when you're turkey hunting. And I'm going to start by saying a huge disclaimer, which will probably be a disappointment. There's no way you're going to get this right every time, or even maybe the majority of the times. There is no set answer. Every single turkey interaction is dynamic and it's one of a kind, and that's why we do it and that's why we love it. But I am going to talk about just a few things to think about when you're trying to decide for yourself whether you should move or not. So at no point am I going to say, this is when you should move, this is when you shouldn't move. But I'm going to try and give you the tools to make a solid decision for yourself, because that's the only kind of way, that's the only way to make a good decision in the turkey woods, is for you to make your own decision. In fact, I was just listening to a podcast the other day. A listener had written in a question about turkey hunting, and the host said something along the lines of, you kind of need to get all of this turkey knowledge, all of the biology, all of the podcasts out of your brain. You need to see what the turkeys are doing in your setting, and you need to make a decision, and you need to hunt that bird. I think a lot of times as well about, Dan Johnson talks about this, the network host for Sportsman's Empire here. He talks about how all these other people don't hunt your farm. You know, he's a whitetail guy, but I think the advice is totally sound. At the end of the day, nobody that you listen to is going to be hunting with you. They're not going to, I mean, maybe they are. That would be kind of weird, but it's possible. But they're not. They're not going to be with you every day, seeing those turkeys, doing what they're doing. You have to make the decision for yourself. So as we get really close to turkey season, what I want to see my listeners do, all of you beautiful people, I want to see you transition from taking in information to using that information. Yes, still take it in. Yes, things you hear from podcasts and stuff can help you get on that bird. But remember, you're the one there doing the hunt. So you've got to turn your own brain on. You've got to use your own creative problem solving. And you've got to get to the bottom of how to get that bird into shooting range. And it's going to live or die based off of your own brain. So we're going to go through some things that I think of. Maybe they'll be helpful. Maybe they'll just make you think of a scenario that later on you do the exact opposite of what I say and it'll help you. Basically, what I'm trying to get at here is there's not going to be one size fits all, but we're going to go through some different scenarios here just to get the old brain working, to get ourselves thinking in this way, and hopefully it'll help you have some success this year. So how to know when it's time to move? I think the first thing you've got to know, you have to know your birds and their tendencies. So I'm in Missouri and I hunt eastern turkeys. There's a good amount of pressure, and a thing that eastern turkeys are pretty notorious for is they'll gobble great on the limb, they'll fly down, and then you've got 30 minutes. And usually by then the gobbling is over. And usually the reason for that is because our season is structured to be later in the year. So a lot of the breeding is done, or at least the toms are paired off. And that's done for, from a biological standpoint of wanting to make sure that we're protecting these populations. And I can't fault that at all. It, however, is a bit annoying when you're a turkey hunter. So one thing that I know going into any hunt is that, like, the chances of me hearing a 10 a.m. gobble, it's incredibly low. And if I do hear that, it's game on. So going in, you know, I might have the roost play and I'll hunt that out and I'll hear them gobble for maybe an hour, maybe half an hour. And then I know that just because I'm not hearing them does not mean that the turkeys have left the country. It might just mean that they're not gobbling. So when you know your birds, you have a way of knowing whether there are still birds around or not. Now, you can always have a random bird that rolls in from out of town, from a property over. That's a beautiful thing about hunting during the spring season is toms are on the move, hens are on the moves, and you never really know what's going to happen. So keep that in mind as well. So know your bird's tendencies and know that those can change. And sometimes that change is what turns your whole season around. But don't hunt a spot for 10 days in a row knowing that the turkeys do not like to hang out in that spot and you're just waiting on that one loner to come through. Go find another spot. Go hunt somewhere else. Find a different way to hunt. Like, that's when it's time to move on. Like, if you know these turkeys are not going to be doing what you need them to do, then it's in your best interest to put a little time in some door knocking or some scouting and get yourself in a better scenario. I think another thing that's important to know, not only do you need to know your turkeys and their tendencies, but you need to know your hunting spot. So what does your hunting spot have to offer? Does it have a good water source? Does it have good nesting cover? Does it have good strut zones? Does it have good brooding cover? Like, all these different things mean different things when you're hunting. So for instance, a place that I hunt a lot has pretty good strut zones out in these open fields when they're open fields. That's about all that this place has to offer. There's also a creek. So it's got water, it's got some good sycamores for roosting, and it's got some decent fields for strutting. And that's enough to get birds on that place. But that is not enough to have birds on that place every hour of the day, every day of the season. So that's something I know, that you want to roll in there, you want to check the fields, and if they're not in the fields, there's kind of not any woods that are good for turkeys. So then you roll in, you know your place is good for those midday strutters out there displaying or whatever. And you understand that. And you understand that maybe it's good in the mornings, maybe it's good in the evenings when they're coming back to roost. And that's what you've got to work with. So understand your hunting location. So ask yourself, is this a spot they're going to be roosting? Ask yourself, is there water? Ask yourself, is there a place they can feed and get in the shade? Because turkeys love to loaf around sometimes when that sun gets hot. So each of those things tell you something different. If you've got a place with good nesting cover where you know hens are going to come in and they're going to be nesting, and that's a great spot to have because there's going to be a tom that's looking for those nesting hens or wants to stick close to them, and that can be an extremely receptive bird to calling in that midday stretch. So if you have that kind of a place, don't move from it. But if you have a place that's good on the roost and that's it, hey, it's time to move probably. And so there's a couple of thoughts about your hunting spot. Another thing to know, and this is so important, knowing the right speed to move and the right way to move. So like when I say when it's time to move, you should move, I'm not saying you stand up from a field edge and you walk across it. That is not the way to move spots, especially if you've been calling. There could have been a gobbler coming up, slipping up behind you that you knew nothing about, and your whole hunt could be blown. You could go from hero to zero and not even know that you were in a scenario where you could have got a bird. So one thing I like to do is before I get up, I like to do a fairly lengthy calling sequence sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. I'll start out soft, see if anything responds. I'll wait a couple minutes. I'll get loud eventually. I'll work it up. I might even do a locator call. I'm going to do everything I can do to pull a gobble out of one if there's one nearby so he'll give up his location, because the chances of you seeing a turkey before he sees you, it's very low. It'll happen sometimes, but it will not happen every time. So you're going to make some calls. You're going to make sure that the bird's not around. You're going to make sure that there's nothing else in the field you're going to spook, and you're not going to go from sitting down to standing up in one motion. No, you're going to lean forward. You're going to roll forward onto your knees. You're going to stretch up, and you're going to glass with your binoculars all those little folds, all those little hills that you can see. You're going to turn around and look behind you. Then you're going to get up on one knee, like you're proposing to the turkeys, would you please let me shoot you? Then you're going to stand all the way up and you're going to look around and look around. And then you're going to get in the woods and you're going to walk in the woods and you're going to take 10 or 12 steps and you're going to stop and listen. Maybe even call a little bit, because just because that bird didn't make it to 30 yards doesn't mean he didn't make it to 300 yards from you, doesn't mean he didn't make it to 100 yards from you. And it might be a situation where if you go slow enough from that calling setup or whatever setup you had, you can see that bird or at least get a hint that that bird's somewhere nearby. You can hear him walking maybe. But if you just get up and you start tromping your way out, you're not going to hear him. You're not going to see him. And they're going to spook and you never even know that you spooked them. And that's the kind of stuff that can be so detrimental to hunting season, is this idea of spooking a bird that you never even saw. You didn't even know that you spooked it. And so something that was almost a done deal, you've got it in your brain that, hey, that doesn't work and that's not good. When in reality, you could have been extremely close to sealing the deal, but you got careless at the end and you not only blew the opportunity, but you never even knew the opportunity was there. So that's why I would say you want to really exercise caution. You don't want to go crazy fast. You want to really go still. You want to think like a predator. You move in the shadows. I think about last week's episode with Paul Campbell. He was talking about how he can just feel it when he's doing it right, and he can feel it when he's doing it wrong when it comes to moving through the woods like a predator. So if you're going to move, you need to know the right way to do it. Another thing you need to know while you're thinking about whether to move is to know what of your spots are good morning spots and what spots are good afternoon spots. So for instance, in the morning, before sunrise, at sunrise, a roost tree is always your best bet for being near turkeys. Now in that, you don't want to be too close. I have made the mistake before of being too close to turkeys, and I've talked about it before, but a couple years ago, I ended up setting up right under this tom, and he was a big tom. I had watched him the night before. I had seen him go to roost, and I was excited about hunting this tom. And when I got everything set up and it cracked first light and I heard that first gobble, it was from the tree I was under. And I was like thinking it was going to happen. I really did. I thought that it was going to work out great and that bird was going to fly straight down and I was going to shoot him. The thing is I don't care how slick you are. You probably aren't slick enough to get up under one like that. I'm sure people have done it, and I'm sure it can work. It did not work for me that day, and it probably won't work for you most of the time. So I was set up, had all my decoys out, and this bird's gobbling, and there's a hen near me as well, and I'm like, this is going to be great. Well, way down the creek, I hear three birds gobbling. I mean, they were just going ballistic. They were probably 200 or 300 yards away from me. And, you know, if you asked me, should you set up 300 yards from roosted birds, I don't know that I would have said yes at that point. And, you know, it's all situational anyways. But what ended up happening was those birds flew down earlier than the one that was in the tree I was in. And when he finally flew down, he flew across the creek to the other side. But those three birds came right into my decoys, and I was able to get one, and it was amazing. But had those three birds not have been there, that would have been a big goose egg to have come in right under one's roost tree. I would have still somehow blanked, which is an absolutely wild thing to think, but that's exactly what would have happened. And so don't set up too close on the roost. But anyways, I'm kind of digressing here. So morning spots, that's roost trees, right? Close, not too close. Maybe you set up decoys, but remember that turkeys can see you from forever away. So you either need to really get in there in the dark if you're going to set up decoys, or you need to have something in place or set up in such a way where you know they can't see you. Because if they see a person even crawling around, that's going to be enough of a tip-off to where they're going to go the other way. And, I mean, the roost play does not work every time. It doesn't even work probably half the time. But it's so fun. I can never get enough of it. So I'm every morning, if I'm out in the morning, I'm going to be near a roost tree, near a strut zone if I can get it. You know, they have those mid-morning strut zones, those spots they all kind of gather together. They wad up, if you will, and they hang out. And if you know where those spots are, you're going to be a lot more likely to call a bird in because you're where he wants to be. So that's some examples of a morning spot. Now, when you think about an afternoon spot, it of course varies, like everything does all the time. But as a general rule, as the spring weather progresses, and we're going to be decently late into spring when I get my first turkey hunt in, and by the end of turkey season, it's going to be way into spring, and you're going to get some hot days. Those fields that were so good at fly down are going to become like saunas, and turkeys don't like the sauna, it would seem. And you're going to want to know about a shady hillside with a lot of bugs or a lot of leaves that turkeys can scratch in, look for acorns and worms and stuff. You're going to want to know about key turkey feeding areas and spots where a turkey can get nice and cool. Sometimes a creek bottom is really cool. Sometimes those fields are really hot. You need to know the difference. You need to know where the wind is most active. You need to know where the wind is least active. That way you know, okay, here's morning spots. Here's evening spots. The best way, of course, is to get out there and scout and find sign in these different spots. And just from finding sign, you won't know if it's a morning spot or an evening spot. But once you find the sign, you can go in and observe. Then you're going to see the turkeys at certain times of the day. Then you're going to know. And some spots are good all day. Some spots just have turkeys coming through it. And when you find those, man, make a mental image, drop a pin, do what you got to do, because those are great to know about. But as a general rule, middle of the day, hens are going to nest, turkeys are looking, or toms are looking for another hen or somewhere to loaf around. And if you can be in that zone before they get there, that's going to be a huge benefit. So that's how you would know when it's time to move. If you're at your morning spot and everything has died off and you know, okay, at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, if I can be over here, I usually see birds, then it's time to get to your afternoon spot. So that's another thing to think about. If you can get there ahead of the bird and be somewhere you know they're going to hang out and be calling or even silent, like that's going to put you in a way better scenario than if you don't know what you're doing. So that's another thing to think about when it's time to move. Another thing to know, you got to know yourself. If you are not a guy who can sit for an hour just to see if one comes through, then your equation of when it's time to move is going to be very different. And I will say there are just some birds that will not yield to anything other than patience. And there's some birds that are never going to come to your setup. For instance, last year I was hunting this one morning. I was hearing these birds gobbling their heads off just across the property line. And they were closer than they ever had been. So I got as close as I could and I set up. I actually wasn't as close as I could get. I was just close. And I set up in a spot where I had seen turkeys hang out in the past. And I thought, I'm going to set these decoys and I'm going to stay here until, I can't remember what arbitrary goal I set for myself, 8:30, something like that. And I was just going to hope that they came out into this field. I was going to call and that was my plan. And I called and they would answer some, they would move around. At one point I heard a hen very close to me, but I never even saw her. And just the gobbling moved and moved and moved and moved. And then it stopped at like 8 or something like that. And I knew, okay, they didn't come here. I could sit here and wait. Or I could try to get down and figure out where they went, what they were doing, what was going on. And because those turkeys had told me all morning, we don't want to be where you are. It was not that they weren't moving and it wasn't that they weren't responding to my calls. It's that they just would not come in. And so I thought, well, whatever their agenda is, I'm not on it or I'm not on it yet. And I thought, let's bump around a little bit. Let's move around. Let's slip and call, as Scott Ellis calls it. And let's see what we can find. And if I don't find anything, I'll come set back up here and I'll wait a couple more hours. So sure enough, I went slipping around and I was able to get on a bird. I was able to make a couple calls. And he came right in to where I wanted him to, and I shot him, and that worked out great. Like, that was an example of sometimes you got to hold still, sometimes you got to move around. And I knew myself enough to know I didn't have it in me to sit in that same spot for 2 more hours. I felt like it was going to be a waste of time. I went and moved. I had success. Now, for every story like that, there's another story where somebody just locked in and they sat for 2 hours and they got their bird too. There's a lot of ways this can happen. And I think it would be a shame to fall into this trap of you either have to do it this way or have to do it that way. I think what you have to do is you have to hunt in a way that's going to keep you locked in and engaged. And that's going to keep you making smart decisions that put you in range of turkeys. I don't think you should get up and walk around just because you're bored. I think that if you're getting up and you're walking around, you need to have a purpose, you need to have a goal, and you need to have some stealth about you. Because when I've gotten up just because I'm bored and walked around, a lot of times that ends up being a bad scenario. I think about one year I called in a group of jakes. I had to throw every call at the book at them. And I finally called them in. I tried to shoot at one and I missed it. This was early in my turkey hunting career. And I came back and I was just feeling so bad about everything that I decided I just need to take a nap. And so I did. I took a nap. And when I woke up, I looked over and there were 3 toms coming in. Like, not to my decoys, but they were coming through, and I was already busted when I saw them. I tried to do some just a harebrained nonsense, and they got out of there, and it was not the move. And what I could have done in that scenario is, yes, maybe take a nap, but I could have reordered my setup to have gone down where I had seen turkeys move a lot And I could have set up in such a way where if I did take a nap and wake up, I wouldn't immediately spook any birds in the field. And I might have had a lot better success there. So I think my point is you need to have a goal in mind, even in your defeat. Okay, I'm going to take a nap or whatever, but how do I set myself up to win? Because after all that calling, I should have known that it's possible other birds might be coming into that, that never gobbled, that I never heard about. And they're just like, what in tarnation is going on over here? I got to go check this out. So that's something that I wish I would have thought about. So like this all goes back to knowing yourself. Know what your tendencies are. How patient can you be? How much moving do you want to do? If you're somebody who wants to sit and wait, then find yourself some good strut zones and ride it out, brother. Get good at calling, get some good decoys and make yourself a real nice ground blind or whatever and get comfy and enjoy your turkey season. But if you're somebody who needs to be moving, and man, I a lot of times am somebody who needs to be moving, and you have like one 40-acre chunk to hunt, brother, it's time to find some more land or it's time to go scout some public, because 40 acres is not a lot of room. It's not a lot of room to make laps on. It's not a lot of room for turkeys to come in on. There's not a lot of room to bust a turkey, but still get on a turkey. So go find more places to hunt. That's where knowing yourself helps you to understand that. So like even in a before the season starts mind frame, you might already know now that you need more room to roam. So get out there and run that down. And then I think lastly, to know when it's time to move, you need to know the sign. Know the sign that's around you. If you have zero turkey sign and zero historical turkey sightings in a spot, that's going to play into your decision on whether it's time to move or not. If you're surrounded by turkey scratching, but it's all really old, that's going to tell you something versus turkey scratching that's really new. If you're out somewhere and you're seeing strut marks, that's going to tell you something. If you're somewhere you're seeing a bunch of tracks, that's going to tell you something different. If you're seeing a lot of feathers where birds have been getting into fights in these spots, that's going to tell you something about whether you should move or not. So break down the sign, break down yourself, break down your spot. What else do we have here? You want to break down your birds. You want to break down how quickly you need to move and what kind of spots you've got around. And I think that's going to help you with that all-encompassing constant question. Should I stick it out a little longer or should I move? And just know that there's no way to be perfect at that decision. Sometimes you just have to make a decision and hope it works out for the best. That's why we love this, because sometimes the turkeys win and that's okay. And sometimes you learn and that's okay. That's what this is all about. It's about learning and experiencing spring. As always, do not forget to enjoy the beauty of spring. There's so many amazing things happening. And it's just amazing to get to walk around in creation this time of year. So don't squander that gift while you're turkey hunting. Don't let your turkey hunting get you so down that you don't see the beauty in nature while you're out there this year. But to everybody whose season's open, good luck. To everybody whose season's coming up, also good luck. Man, I'm so excited for this turkey season. I can't wait to get out there. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. Give me a referral. If you got a buddy who turkey hunts, tell him about this podcast. If you're learning stuff from it, if you're enjoying it, that really helps me out a lot. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Spotify, iTunes, all that good stuff. You can also email me at howtohuntturkey@gmail.com. And if you can leave me a 5-star review, that helps me out a ton. But thank you guys so much for listening. And now that turkey season is here, I'm going to start saying it like this. Take somebody hunting with you this week.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.